This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist, author, Hidden Killers contributor with us right now. Talking about Rex Huerman, there's obviously a lot going on right now, but I want to dig into behind the scenes what is happening with him right now. Obviously, there's probably some sort of psychological evaluations that have been taking place on Rex while he is in custody. How might a psychotherapist approach some sort of therapeutic conversation with someone like Rex accused of such crimes? What is one trying to find? How would you approach something like this if you were assigned to go and have some conversations with Rex Huerman?
These guys that do these kind of crimes are generally narcissistic. And they're narcissistic, psychopathic, and sadistic, right? So you get this trio of very problematic traits. They like to talk about themselves, and they like to boast, and they like to brag. And if you can get them talking, usually by asking questions, appealing to their narcissism a bit, they trip themselves up. And so that would be my approach in this kind of a forensic interview, is I just want to get the guy talking at first. And of course, you don't tip your hand about red flags that he may be disclosing, but you take careful notes and you listen and you ask lots of questions. And then there would be, of course, formal psychological testing, the MPI and other personality inventories. You'd be doing a psychopathy checklist and looking for other psychopathic behavior. But it's really interesting how often a person like this, when they feel like they're getting attention, often they disclose far more than is in their own best interest to disclose.
Does their own narcissism end up hurting them? Like the same thing that drove them and enabled them to commit crimes like this for so long end up hanging them essentially because of their own desire for that recognition of what they were doing when talking with a therapist?
Yeah, very often. It's very difficult for them in an extended interview. I mean, sometimes you'll have interviews, psychologists that go in to do these kind of things. We'll spend days with a person, days and days talking, and they trip themselves up. And so it is their narcissism is kind of their Achilles heel.
Is there a strategy to get them to trip themselves up, or do they just naturally tend to do it?
They naturally tend to do it. And the more a person gets into this kind of bragging and they amplify qualities about themselves, maybe they get into, if they're a business person, they get into sort of taking pride in how they've ripped other people off or, you know, done other kinds of illegal things or gotten away with different kinds of fraud. And it's almost as if, you know, they don't realize that a normal person is looking at this as a negative. And so the more they talk, the longer you get them to talk, you also notice inconsistencies in their stories because they'll tell you one thing and then they tell you something else a couple hours later. And of course, the evaluator is taking notes the whole time and noticing the inconsistencies, but they forget what they've said. You know, they're storytellers and they're always spinning a tale.
When they take those series of tests that you had mentioned, how often is it that they pass these things by and don't look psychotic and don't look like there's something very wrong with them, where they're able to manipulate even the testing system just as they were able to be master manipulators with other people in the real world?
You know, it depends on what tests are being used and, of course, the skill of the person administering the tests. Usually, there are lie scales incorporated into the evaluation process so that, you know, and again, I won't give away too much about
it,
but it usually is picked up when they're lying or, you know, being trying to create a favorable impression of themselves.
Sure.
The evaluator can usually read that.
Interesting. A lot of times people talk about the media coverage of events like this and sometimes inspiring others to commit crimes of a similar nature. With something like this, did media truly play a role with someone like this, Rex? Was he going to just do this sort of thing regardless of media? He doesn't seem like the type that necessarily saw this on the evening news of someone else and said, hey, I'm going to go start doing that.
Yeah, I don't think we can say there's any kind of that direct cause and effect with media coverage. I think it's more seen in like the mass shooters, people who have maybe a political agenda or an agenda against women or something like that. The guys that go out with the AR-15 and try to blow away as many people as they can. They can be inspired by media coverage and then they try to outdo each other. But I don't think that's the same thing for the serial killer, because this kind of pathology develops so early in life. Usually they've been having weird sexual fantasies since childhood.
Like, this is something more ingrained in the psyche of an individual versus one who is just snapped over being angry, of being slighted or something of that nature?
Yeah, it's definitely longer standing, whereas the mass killer who just goes out in one big event and tries to, you know, top the last person who did it, that's a different kind of thinking. It's usually not somebody who's been fantasizing about that for years, maybe a couple years, but not going back to age 8, 9, or 10.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.